Sunday, September 15th, in the year of our Lord, 1963. It was a cool, overcast morning in Birmingham, Alabama. Sunday school classes were just ending in the basement of the 50-year-old Yellow Brick Church. The morning's lesson was the love that forgives. Yellow Brick Church. The morning's lesson was the love that forgives. The fifth chapter of Matthew. Outside, parents were arriving to collect the children. At 22 minutes past the hour of 10, a force let loose that electrified and shook the world. Great chunks of stone shot out like artillery through parked cars. A metal railing tore from its concrete bed and shot across the street into the window of the social dry cleaning store. Customers in the next door Silver Springs restaurant were knocked to the floor. Inside the church, someone yelled,
"Lie on the floor, everybody, lie on the floor!"
Rafters collapsed. The skylight fell on the pulpit. Part of a stained glass window shattered, obliterating the face of Christ.
"Everybody out, move out, out quickly!"
Children stumbled through litter and twisted metal, broken chairs, splintered wooden benches, shredded hymn books and Bibles. Police cars sirened into the block. Workers, barehanded, dug deeper into the rubble and uncovered the bodies of four little girls. The church pastor, the Reverend John Cross, urged the people to go home.
"Please go home. Go home, everybody. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want.
We give them love and we get this."
The Birmingham Police Department's six-wheel riot tank entered the area and cops commenced firing shotguns over the Negroes' heads to rock-throwing retaliation. Young boys started stoning passing cars with white passengers. Police ordered them to stop. One 16-year-old boy ran. A cop killed him with a buckshot blast. September 15th, 1963. 19 hurt, 5 dead.
This didn't happen in Nazi Germany, and it didn't happen in South Africa. It happened right here in America, in Birmingham, Alabama. It didn't happen back in the Dark Ages. It happened in 1963, right after the March on Washington. And it wasn't a dream. This was a nightmare. Where were the leaders? Where was America? Where was the government?
Minister Malcolm, who was guilty of the bombing in Birmingham?
The government was guilty. The guilt is upon the United States government for the murder of those four little girls who died in that bombing. The guilt was upon the United States government for those little boys who were shot down right afterward, because it is the failure of the government to do its job that has given the people of that area the feeling that they can brutalize and victimize and murder the Afro-American in cold blood, knowing that nothing will be done about it. The government was guilty. The government still is guilty. The murderers of those little girls have been brought to justice.
Minister Malcolm, do you feel that the government, as charged being guilty, should inject themselves into this? There seems to be some technicality as to the fact that they can't get into this due to the fact that this is a state as against government opposition, where the legal matter of it is concerned.
Well, it has become impossible for the government in Washington, D.C. to intercede, because if you study the structure of the United States government, you'll find that out of 16 senatorial committees that govern this country, 10 of them are in the hands of the senators, who are nothing but Southern segregationists. Out of the 20 congressional committees that govern the country, 12 of them are in the hands of congressmen who are nothing but Southern segregationists. So we can see that the government itself in Washington, D.C. is a segregationist government. And they teach you and me that the South lost the Civil War. But at the same time, when we examine the structure of the government, we find that it is run by white racists, by white supremacists, by segregationists who are called Dixocrats but are actually nothing but Democrats, whose leader is sitting in the White House, who himself is also a former senator from a segregationist racist state known as Texas.
Well, this may be true, but this does not hamper the fact, Minister Malcolm, that there is a legal procedure. Now, in these bombings, and the question is, Who is guilty of them?
They didn't have to worry about a legal procedure when they wanted to send troops into South Vietnam. They didn't worry about legal procedures when they wanted to send their troops into Cuba and tell the Cubans what to do. Uncle Sam has never worried about legality whenever he wanted to send his troops wherever his interests were threatened. But when it comes to protecting the lives of 22 million Afro-Americans, then all of a sudden Uncle Sam becomes very conscious of legality.
Well, isn't it a fact that they did send soldiers into Birmingham, Alabama, and on the perimeter they were held?
I think you'll find that for several weeks when Dr. Martin Luther King and his cohorts were the victims of cattle prods and water hoses and vicious police dogs in Birmingham, they were calling upon Washington, D.C. to come to their rescue. And the only word that they got out of Washington was that no statute had been violated that would allow Washington to intercede, to inject itself into that dispute. But as long as the Negroes in Birmingham, Alabama were being nonviolent and were turning the other cheek, then there was nothing the government in Washington could do about it.